sent forth his son, Haya, to design a realm where his justice and honor would be upheld. With the unlimited wealth of his father's goodness, virtue, and wisdom, Haya created the universe to house a sacred experiment. And within the vast expanse of the cosmos, Haya made a planet called Earth, where rational creatures known as humans would participate in a divine test that would probe every human heart. Would people pursue truth, humility, and righteousness, despite the deception, pride, and wickedness surrounding them? It was Agape's desire for humans to side with his justice, benevolence, and integrity. You see, before the beginning of this sacred experiment, there had been a hideous insurrection against Agape's sovereignty and primacy in the eternal realm of light. A horde of immortals had rallied to the cause of Kakia, the wisest and most beautiful divine creature. Though created good, beautiful, and noble, Kakia had been corrupted by both his resplendent stature and his distinguished position in the realm. Twisted Kakia's heart when he forgot that the cause of his being and magnificence was in Agape, the source of beauty, goodness, and life. Haya, the appointed lord of this eternal realm, at once confronted Kakia over his arrogance.
Why have you so disregarded your creator and lord? You have been given the highest honor of leading the immortal host to worship the Most High. There is nothing innately exceptional about your position and grandeur. Life flows from Agape, and worship returns to him. You understand your defiance must be dealt with most severely, lest others shame the name of their maker.
Kakia did feel ashamed, and hung his head in grief. He realized Haya was right, and that he had begun to ponder his own greatness and majesty. But something was rising from his soul's depths, a dark thought, a corrupting influence. He was truly beginning to believe that despite the wisdom Agape had granted him, he had been the one developing it and using it, and he believed he could direct things better. He was the director, after all. Haya feared what was to follow, but remembered that before he and his father had designed the realm, the volition they imparted to the created host to practice love, goodness, and worship had the capacity for destructive forces like selfishness, hatred, and rebellion. Although Kakia had only shown signs of the first, a gathering of everyone in the realm was necessary to reprove this first sign of evil. So Haya commissioned Agape's chief aide, Mikael, to seize Kakia and bring him before the immortal host for public sentencing. When many saw Kakia debased and humiliated, they remembered his wisdom and leadership. He was the glorious singer who had directed the whole multitude in songs of praise to Agape, their creator and king. As Haya was reprimanding Kakia before them all, some of their minds were being polluted. Instead of listening to Haya, they were venerating Kakia's gifts and services. They were recalling fondly his most celebrated voice and the beauty of the songs instead of remembering who the songs were to and why they sang them. In essence, they were exalting the creation over the creator. Thus, as Haya indicted Kakia for his pride, a small throng was questioning Agape's wisdom and Haya's commanded seizure of the stately director. How could they dare to shame this most glorious creature, they thought? By venerating his regal status and hallowed leadership, they couldn't understand how Kakia had so transgressed the Most High's sacred honor. Suddenly, one in the crowd lunged forward and attacked Mikael. Screaming against the injustice of Haya's admonishment, he began beating and relentlessly pummeling the head guard Mikael. But Mikael was defenseless because he had bound Kakia and was detaining him. Confusion erupted! Kakia broke loose from his bonds and gathered his sympathizers to join in the attack against Mikael, while Haya ordered the royal guard to defend him. Once they had beaten away the attackers, Mikael assumed leadership of the guard, while Haya beckoned to the crowd and avowed Agape's justice. Convinced, the faithful rallied to Mikael to suppress the mutiny.
A great war ensued, yet the rebellion was crushed rather quickly despite the chaotic turmoil Kakia and his sympathizers triggered. Upon Haya's command, the faithful host hurled the accursed horde into outer darkness, an oblivion of nothingness. It was indeed a solemn day for the Eternal Realm of Light. Agape and Haya were immensely grieved by the actions of the rebellious mob, and they knew that such questioning of their goodness and sovereignty was treacherous. The insurrection and treason warranted utter banishment from the Realm of Light for Kakia and his followers. However, despite their grief, they had great concern and care for those who had remained faithful to their goodness and sovereignty. Selfishness and doubt had produced the most heinous of evils, and almost complete anarchy in the Realm of Light. Haya and Agape realized that the faithful must see that Kakia's wickedness was not limited to sudden revolts. Kakia's minions rendered Agape's benevolence and justice suspect of righteousness. And the attempt to take control was no different than trying to become like the Most High. Yet for this evil to be seen in its totality, its effect would have to be felt yet again before all could see and honor the Most High properly. Evil would unfortunately help show Agape's goodness and Haya's wisdom. Hence the sacred experiment commenced. Haya designed the cosmos, the earth, and its inhabitants to experience the goodness, beauty, and perfection of the divine, but allowed Kakia and his minions influence upon this physical realm so that the faithful host would see the devastation of the rebels' corrupted ways. It is true that Agape knew his most prized creatures would initially choose Kakia's deception, but because humans had tasted the goodness of the Most High and longed to return under his favor, Agape understood that his creatures would desire order in their fallen world, and justice against those that follow Kakia's deceptions and corrupt practices. In his benevolence, Agape made two promises. He promised to bring release from the shameful desires that cause disorder, mayhem, and carnage in the world. Those desires that make men prideful, jealous, and hostile. Secondly, he promised a path for humans to achieve immortality. And here was the plan, the mission, if you will. Haya would be sent into the world to display the same virtues that had condemned Kakia and his minions before. He would reprove evil and demonstrate the path of truth, humility, and righteousness. Everyone aligning themselves with Haya would understand the nature of evil and the wickedness of Kakia's schemes and practices. However, in order to align themselves to Haya and become a part of his realm or kingdom, humans had to admit their guilt and shame, for they had participated in the same deception and corruption that had overtaken the first humans, and ultimately Kakia himself. Haya taught that Agape would condemn those men and women who followed their pride and hid their hatred, covetousness, and lust as much as those who rape, pillage, or murder. So Haya told people to turn from these evils and imitate his virtue. By this, the experiment would show why evil is so reprehensible, and why Kakia and all who follow the path of darkness deserve condemnation. Nevertheless, Kakia was determined to fight and deceive as many as possible. Agape allowed for this deception, that is a sharp distinction between good and evil, so that those who pursued goodness, righteousness, and truth could see the goodness of Haya and the goodness of his ways. throughout the ages. Kaki has schemed with his minions and designated a chief council whose members embody the forces that continue to deceive and corrupt the human race. These gods have morphed throughout time, assumed different names, and been worshipped in varying ways. In their highest degree of success, those worshipping the gods that personify these forces of evil do so unawares, and steal glory from Agape and his integrity. Their work in America has been particularly problematic for those attempting to follow Haya. Counterintuitive forces create a haze of fraudulence and abominable behavior. But the gods themselves describe best the degree of their success. I am particularly pleased with the work being done on the Western fronts, especially in America. Polemos, you have served me well over the years, ever since you first struck out at Mikael. Indeed, the last 100 years have been immensely successful. The number of deaths and atrocities in war are on the increase, but what's even better is that people don't know what to do and who to fight. Even now it appears U.S. citizens are in confusion about how they should repel terrorist attacks we cause around the globe. The religious community is convinced in the righteousness of the American cause. While secular society knows that a failed state in Iraq will only produce worse consequences for their precious nation.
Indeed, no end appears in sight for the violence and bloodshed. Ethnic tensions and cultural hatred masterfully fuel the spread of my art. Even more beautiful is how Atsera pollutes American churches with the framework the polar opposite of Hayah's teachings. She's making my job much easier. Instead of loving their enemies and praying for them, they war and fight and take personal vengeance against their adversaries.
The greatest feat has been to convince people they believe something without it actually changing them. They put faith in this creed, some teaching or that doctrine, but nothing changes, no spiritual transformation. What's more, I've distorted their entire religious paradigm by separating religious life and secular life. They can go to church, hear a message, sing a song, but return to the world to party and frolic and indulge. Thus, the masses go to temples, synagogues, and cathedrals to feel spiritual, but prefer the pleasures Western decadence offers them. Albeit, I personally congratulate Desnilio, whose job it's been to infect our hosts with reasons to forget Haya and his teachings.
My team has contrived so many seductive and enticing amusements that Americans can't stop thinking and talking about the newest movies, the latest fads, the freshest music, the hottest celebrity gossip, the fantastic foods, the best teams, and not to mention their TV shows, books, magazines, video games, dance clubs, peep shows, theme parks, and chat rooms, where they can spend their time and money. We've made evil either blatantly fun or covertly decent. People don't even need to waste their time thinking about gods and goddesses, and if they do, they can just visit some sacred building during the week or wait for some religious holiday to feel spiritual again. All in all, we've created as much confusion as possible for anyone trying to apply Haya's wisdom to their daily lives. All hail to you, Kakia, the master of wickedness.
From every aspect of life, religion and education to entertainment and politics, we've provided a perspective of reality devoid of Agape's presence, benevolence, and righteousness. We do even better when people actually blame him for evil, sorrow, and death.
Indeed. The increasing spirit among the majority is to make light of social problems and corruption in the world. The entertainers and intellectually bow to my schemes. They spend more time making evil something funny and to be mocked rather than something grave and to be shunned. Sexual innuendos, cursed jokes, scoffing, and teasing are my favorite sacrifices.
Tis music to my ears.
You fools have had little to play with if Darwin and I weren't advancing the latest and greatest ideals in classrooms across the West. Science has been exalted to such an extent that people actually believe the universe and the Earth are billions of years old. Of course, that's what the evidence tells them, so that's what they'll believe. They are so rational, you know. All the while, they forget to rationalize that Haya turned water into wine, too. He made something fresh, incredibly aged. You remember when Haya made the world, the peace, the beauty, and perfection. We came and ruined it all. Within a few thousand years, we've taught humans how to be greedy, and in their pursuit of wealth, how to destroy the natural environment.
But really, we've done more work in the last couple hundred years than you all ever dreamed possible. Consider this. People think they have an id and superego, not a soul and spirit. And more actually have the faith to say that mind evolved out of matter, language out of chirps, buzzes, barks, and hoots. The whole system flows so nicely toward more corruption, deception, wickedness, and evil. Maybe you'd like to hail us too.
You two are always so stuck on yourselves. Do you forget how little you'd have to work with if I hadn't confused the very story which gave humans origin, purpose, salvation, and destiny? Science would never have stepped in to offer its convoluted doctrines if people's foundational stories were not in utter chaos and confusion. Despite varying accounts of creation, a great flood, and the spiritual forces of gods and demigods, prominent philosophers are now trying to offer meaning in what they deem a meaningless, random world. In fact, the most basic of human desires becomes hopeless quests when detached from a benevolent, just God. We rob consciences, pondering the reward for the righteous and wicked, even though they long for justice, yearn for immortality, and search for significance. All in all, we've utterly confounded the West as they attempt to escape from the nihilism created in their minds. Deep down, people want justice against Hitler, Stalin, Milosevic, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Jim Jones, and Charles Manson. They want evildoers to be punished and to suffer for all the misery they cause, but to reject Haya's spiritual paradigm since it also labels them as degenerate. Humans want to believe that they are good inside and don't need deliverance from corruption and deception, but Haya's promised that all would suffer who spurn Agape's goodness and live contrary to his ways. Many think they're more righteous and pure than the most blatant criminal, and for this I, Mythalos, am the greatest of deceivers.
And so they schemed on and on. Some were praising the work of others, some flaunting personal achievement. The only consensus was that Agape must pay for his injustice towards their leader. The deception and corruption must go on as long as possible.